It's such a privilege to be part of the East Gateway Hub at such a time as this, and I'm really excited about the future when Pastor Lloyd, our apostolic leader, sent out the theme for this year. There was a real quickening in my spirit, and I'm just really excited about what I feel God is going to do. This evening we're going to be commissioning Gianluca, but at the same time, as I have brought what I feel is a word for him, I feel it's a word for the East Gateway Hub. And you would need to weigh that. But when I received the message through of Go, a clip came to mind. And I just want us to listen to this clip, Alan.
These are the voyages of Starship Enterprise, a five-year mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
Split infinitive day.
Thank you so much, John. It's always helpful to have a retired solicitor with us. To boldly go. And as I was thinking about that phrase, so I was taken to a verse that we will find in the Old Testament, and I've entitled my talk A Compelling Call. And I want to take you to the verse. It's in Genesis 12, and in many respects it identifies a man who was willing to boldly go where no man has gone before. And the verse will be put up for you, but I'm just going to read from the NLT, picking up from verse 1. Then the Lord told Abraham, "Leave your country, your relatives, and your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. I will cause you to become the father of a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and will make you a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham departed as the Lord instructed him. And there are some truths I want to bring out that I feel are relevant both for Gianluca, but also for the East Gateway Hub. And in order to help you, I've put on the slide my alliterated points. So if you forget anything else I say, you'll be able to see the things that I have come up with as I've reflected on those two verses. And it begins with go from. Go from. One of the things that I believe that we need to be aware of is that residing will prevent us from reviving. Residing will prevent us from reviving. You discover that what happens is that Abraham's family, they come to a place called Haran, and it says that they settled there. Haran means a parched place, or a dry place, or a crossroads. And one of the things that I've really felt God say to me is that we need to understand that he's going to call us out of the familiar into the unfamiliar. He's going to call us out of a place where we, in many respects, feel comfortable and settled, and in some ways wish that we could stay there, on a journey that will be challenging and yet at the same time exciting. This doesn't just apply to Gianluca, but I sense that it applies to the East Gateway Hub as well. You need to know that change is coming. It will look very different to what has been in the past. And as you look at what God is doing, you'll become aware of the fact that there are things that he is removing, things that he's doing that in some ways unsettles you. And perhaps even causes you to ask the question, what are you doing here, Lord? Why are you allowing this to happen? Yet to understand it is all part and purpose of the plan and the destiny that he has from us. For some of you as individuals, you need to hear this. You need to stop residing. It's time for you to move. That's not me saying that you move from the church that you're part of, but I am saying that you need to move from that sense of being comfortable and settled. For some of you, it relates to gifting. For some of you, it relates to ministry. For some of you, it relates to a call that you've heard from God that you've not yet responded to. For some of you, it's that sense of being unnerved by the fact that somehow or other, you feel that if you step out into something new, it's all going to collapse around you. God wants you to know that He is holding you fast. For some of you, it's understanding, as Peter understood, that getting out of the boat is an option that can only lead you to walking on water. Any other option means you stay in a comfortable position but never experience the miraculous provision of God. For some of you, there are things that you treasure that you're going to have to let go of. Things that you have placed in such a high position that they are above God Himself. They have almost in your life become idols that you don't intend to worship, but have ended up worshipping. And so there is that sense in which for us as individuals, and I recognize it in my own life, that God is saying, you've got to put some things down. You've got to let some things go. You've got to move into unfamiliar territory. But you see, as He gives that directive, and I just want to say to you, Gianluca, that you have heard. You've heard a word from God. To know that there is clarity there, and that as you've continued to respond to that word, you can live in that sense of destiny and purpose and a recognition of what God is going to accomplish through your life. Equally to you, Pastor Lloyd, you've heard a word. And for the East Gateway Hub, God has given you an insight and an understanding into the things that He wants to begin to do in the life of the East Gateway Hub that in many ways you've only seen an element of what He wants to accomplish. And yet it excites you, and there is a sense in your own spirit that you have an awareness of God doing something new. When you spoke about that whole arena of worship, my mind was taken to Isaiah 6, where Isaiah was caught up into the place of worship. Yeah. And flowing out of worship came the response, who will go for us? Yeah. Who can I send? Yeah. And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And it was to take him out of a place of familiarity, out of a place of being comfortable, into a place of destiny and purpose and the fulfillment of God's plan. Because that's what God goes on to say. He says, I'm giving you a directive to go from, but I'm giving you a destiny to go to. I'm so glad that God's got a destiny for every one of us. I said this morning at Pitsy, when I spoke about going in the strength that you have, that for each and every one of you, there is something that God wants to accomplish in and through your life. There is a plan and a purpose that He has for you. And He wants you to identify and acknowledge and recognize that as you are willing to take the steps of faith, then He will lead you into the destiny that He has. For the East Gateway Hub and for the respective congregations within the East Gateway Hub, there is a destiny that God has for each and every one of them. In some ways there will be similarities, but in other ways there will be differences. Yet at the same time, each and every congregation is destined to make an impact and to bring transformation into the life of the community of which they are part. And yet the congregation is made up of individuals. The Apostle Paul highlights the fact of the importance of the body and that each one of us needs to fulfill the part that we are called to play. For some of us, it's in very much a public arena, where others, it's more in the background. But whatever part God calls you to play, whatever destiny He has, wherever it is He wants to take you, to understand that you are a vital cog in the overall progress and development of the work of God in the area and in the congregation of which you are part, to understand and know that as you move in obedience and others move in obedience with you, that creates an atmosphere of unity. And where there is an atmosphere of unity, an atmosphere of a recognition of the need of one another, of love permeating each and every one of us. So it is that the Bible tells us, in the place of unity, God commands a blessing. It's important that we understand, as the East Gateway Hub, that unity is absolutely vital. Unity is not uniformity. We are all made up in different ways because there's a sense in we dress differently. I don't dress like Paul. And if I tried to dress like Paul, I would certainly not look as handsome and as amazing as he looks. But at the same time, I equally don't dress like Lloyd. I find that although he apparently, he definitely did, he commended me when I came in on one occasion wearing some sort of, what were they?
Combats,
yes, wearing combats. I know that we're in a spiritual battle and we're going to war, but I somehow feel more comfortable in, I dressed down today. I half thought about putting on my suit, but I decided a man's cardigan would do. But, I dress uniquely, and everyone else thinks, thank the Lord for that. But we're all different, and yet there is a sense in we are all needful of each other. And so there is a destiny for you. Now the fact remains that when God spoke to Abraham, as he was then, and said, I've got a destiny for you, he also created an environment where Abraham had to be totally dependent upon God. Because what God didn't say to him was, this is the ultimate destiny. This is the end of the road. This is where you're heading for. What God created was an environment whereby God said, every day you'll be dependent on receiving from me what you need in order you might live out that day and stay in step with what I'm doing and what I am accomplishing in that particular day and at that particular time. Again, for the East Gateway Hub and for Gianluca, stay in step with the Spirit. Listen to what the Spirit has to say. You see, we all are given permission to get out of step with what God is doing. But when we do that, we move into our own strength and we move into doing things in our own way. And as a result of that, we can lose sight of where God is taking us and what God is wanting to do through us. We can sometimes try to make things happen. That we discover is what eventually happened as far as Abraham was concerned. See, I love Bible characters. For me, so much of the things I speak about is around Bible characters because they are so human. I can identify so easily with them. Here is Abraham, this amazing man of faith. And God commends him for his faith. But you see, the destiny that God had for him, one of those aspects of that destiny, that he was going to have a miraculously provided for child. But when the miracle didn't happen quick enough for him, he tried to create the miracle himself. And the disaster was the result. Stay in step with the Spirit. Let God lead you. As you depend upon him, that will then lead you to discerning what he's doing, where he's taking you, what he wants to accomplish in your life. That's why Jesus said, I only do the things that I see my Father doing. I only do the things I see my Father doing. And it's so easy for me, I understand in my own life, that I can very quickly lose sight of putting myself in the position of seeing what God is doing. See, when I go to the opticians, which I have to do on a regular basis, the optician, in order he might discover how good an eyesight I've got, he will pull up this board with letters on. And then he will take off my varifocal glasses, and he will put on this strange contraption. He will drop lenses in it, and then he will black out one eye, and he will say to me, "What can you see? Read what you can see." And very often I'll be able to see the bigger picture, but I won't be able to see the minute detail. But as he begins to change the lens, as he begins to correct what's necessary, more and more the minute detail comes into focus. I'm able to see more and more of what is before me. Recognize that as you stay in step with the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to work in you and work through you, you will see not just the bigger picture, which in one sense you've already seen, but you will begin to see the minute detail as well. God will give you spiritual focus and insight into what he's doing, where he's moving, the way he's working. Just as Jesus had that ability to have that minute detail. So when the disciples said, "Let's go shopping," he said, "No, I'll stay here in the hot sun and sit by a well rather than go shopping with you." What, in fact, the minute detail was that he knew there was a woman who was going to turn up who needed to hear about the truth of the living water. Or when Jesus receives a message, "Your friend is dying. You better come quick and heal him." And Jesus says, "No, I need to wait." Because the minute detail was that he needed to allow Lazarus to die in order that all of us could learn the truth that Jesus is the resurrection, the life. And that those who believe in him, even though they shall die, yet shall they live. And so we need to understand that as we depend upon God ministering into our lives, then we will discern what God is doing through our lives. Some of you have turned a blind eye to what God is wanting to show you. Some of you are distracted from the way that God is leading you. Some of you are focused on the wrong things. And God is calling us individually and corporately to discern what he wants to do in this current time, in this current season, and in this current way in which he is working in the life of the East Gateway Hub and the life of the church overall. Because you see, what goes on to say is this: I want to develop you. I'm always encouraged, and I've often quoted it here, by the verse that I'm being transformed from glory into glory. And I've said to the church here, sometimes go up to the mirror, look in it and say, "I'm more glorious today than I was yesterday." Don't necessarily ask your wife or husband, they might not necessarily agree with you. But that's what the Bible promises. You are being transformed from glory into glory. The whole purpose and plan that Father has for you and me is that we become more like Jesus. We are signposts to him. And in the context of the good news and sharing the gospel, although we do use words and need to use words, let me say to you that people be attracted to Jesus by what they see in you, not necessarily simply from what they hear from you. Indeed, what they hear from you, if it is different from what they see in you, that will not be an attraction, that will be a rejection. And we therefore need to understand that here is a God who the Bible describes as the potter and says that we are the clay. And he is wanting to create out of earthly vessels those that are filled with heavenly treasures. He sees you and he knows how he wants to mold you and to fashion you and develop you and build you and enable you to be filled more and more with his power and with his blessing and with his spirit so that you can make an impact upon the community around, upon your family and upon your friends. Abraham was not the finished article when he started this journey. It was just the start. But day by day, month by month, year by year, a development process took place in Abraham's life, even to the point where eventually he ended up with a new name. I'm so glad we've all got a new name. I'm so glad that my name is written in heaven. I'm so glad that there is a sense in which those names that once marked my life, failure, useless, guilty, condemned, no longer apply to me. I'm now a child of God. I'm now a son. I'm now an heir. I'm now someone who knows the power and the filling of the Holy Spirit, because God has developed me. But God has not finished with me yet. You'll be pleased to know, some of you, that there's still more development to go. I'm not the good loser yet that God may develop me to become. I'm not uncompetitive yet, which God may develop me to become. But the fact remains is that I'm so glad that God doesn't give up on me, nor you, in the process of development. What God continues to do is say, do you know what? Even through your mistakes, I will still mould you. Even through your mistakes, I will still fashion you. Even through your mistakes, like Abraham, you will learn something of my grace and my goodness and experience a greater measure of my love and of my power. And so the development takes place for a reason. Because God says, I'm not only going to develop you, but I'm going to bless you. I want to say 2025 is going to be a year of blessing upon the East Gateway Hub. I want to say that God is going to bless individuals in the hub more than they could even begin to imagine. I want to say to you that there is something of the resources of heaven that is going to be released amongst us, that is going to cause us to gasp with amazement at what God is doing. I want to say God is going to restore and renew and refresh and revive and enable us to see something of the majesty and glory of God that we've not yet seen or experienced. God's heart is to bless you. God's heart is to bless you. When you come to God, don't come feeling that somehow or other he's holding back from you receiving from him. Somehow that he's holding back from you experiencing the gifts that he has for you. Understand that he wants to bless you more than you could imagine. And that all you need to do is come with open hearts and open hands and say, I just want to be blessed. I just want to receive from you. And God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you so much, you will not believe how blessed you're going to become. And he was blessed in every area of his lives. Now, I'm not into the prosperity teaching per se, but I do believe that God does want to bless in all aspects of our lives. And that he wants to bless us because we come to the next part of this. He wants to bless us because he wants us to make a difference in the world in which we live. What he says is, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing. Amen. I want to bless you so you can be a blessing. So whatever God blesses you with, it is not for you to hold on to and for you to acquire wealth with, or for you to somehow say, wasn't it great to be in the presence of God today? I was so blessed. And then to go from that and say, yes, I've just come back for even more. It's for us to say, Lord, thank you for what you've given me today. I want to go out and I want to bless others with that. If you've given me material, I want to bless others with that. If you've blessed me spiritually, I want to bless others with that. Whatever I've received from you, Lord, I want to allow that to become something that will touch and impact and make a difference in the community to which I am part. And so I want to say to Gianluca, the East Gateway Hub, that my heart and my sense of what God is saying at the beginning of this year is contained in those two verses, as Alan puts them back up again for us, as he goes back. Go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. But I want to say, for that to happen, you need to understand there is a cost. And this week, Joe and Pastor Lloyd put up a prayer, and I put the prayer onto the PowerPoint right at the end. And if Alan, you can put that up for me. This is what the prayer says. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed by you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have of things, let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. And so be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Pastor Lloyd said that's a dangerous prayer to pray. And it is. And yet at the same time, that is the prayer that in many respects reflects the heart of Abraham. When he received that compelling call, he said, I'll go on the journey you're taking me. I will follow wherever you lead. I will be whatever you want me to be. I will live day by day for you and for your glory. And for the East Gateway Hub, and for every one of us within it, may that be our heart, our longing, and may that be our prayer to the glory of God. God bless you.